Well, we've talked about him a few times this week, but now the sinister reporter from reporting from the dark side for Real Clear Politics, ladies and gentlemen, inside the White House, Philip Wegman. Philip, how are you, sir?
Not bad. And a quick note on the March for Life. I know that you mentioned the students were going to be getting back to the Fort Wayne area early tomorrow morning, but I was on the Hill earlier today, meeting with a couple of different folks in Senate offices, just, you know, checking up on sources, that sort of thing. I live probably, you know, 4 or 5 blocks from the Hill.
Okay.
It took me about 20 minutes to get home on the little motorcycle that I've got here, just because traffic was so backed up.
No kidding.
Such a presence here. They are impossible to mix.
Well, I think because time is going to be so short and they're really trying to hit the 4 o'clock in the morning thing, I think they're going to try to skip this year the Native American encounter on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. I think they're going to go.
You're referring to probably one of the worst cases of media malfeasance in the last couple of years. I mean, it was just so pathetic.
That was pathetic, wasn't it?
You had reporters in D.C. who, even though video was available of the Covington Catholic kids not antagonizing anyone, they were somehow, they were portrayed as the aggressors in that situation. That's a flashback. It seems like it's been so long.
So refresh our memory here. The question, the way you put it to the President of the United States during his now famous press conference, what you said or asked of the President was what?
So it was interesting because the President was reading from his list of pre-approved reporters, and we had just surpassed the one-hour mark. I kept my hand up, tried to get a question, even though I wasn't on the list for some time. And by the time he did come to me, I think we were about an hour and a half in at that point. I had a list of questions on everything from the border to crime to his thoughts on voting, filibuster, so on and so forth. But
so these are all questions you made up ahead of time, dependent upon what he would have covered before he finally got to you.
Absolutely. And so by the time he came to me, the one thing that had to be followed up on was the President was asked early on in the press conference, if his voting rights bills in Congress failed, did he believe that the upcoming midterm elections would be fair and legitimate?
Right.
And the backstory here is that Democrats and the White House have argued that what individual state legislators have been doing, the reforms that they've been making at the local level, are essentially a assault on democracy. If you require voting ID, if you get rid of some of these drop boxes for ballots that were, that proliferated during the pandemic, if you cleared voting rolls, so on and so forth, they've said it's an assault on democracy. So it was a very good question. But the President said very quickly, he said, it depends on what Republicans do. And then he didn't follow up. He talked about Donald Trump trying to overturn the previous election, and he moved on.
Right.
When he came to me, though, I wanted to return to that question, and so I asked him very simply whether or not he thought if these individual state legislators are able to move forward changes to their voting protocols, would that be a legitimate midterm election? And he said that it could very easily be illegitimate. And I don't often interrupt the President of the United States because, I mean, it's not something you do. But he started talking about 2020 again, and I wanted to make certain that we were all clear about what he said and what he was referring to. So I interrupted and I said, the 2022 election, sir, the midterms. And he again said that he was not ready to call the 2022 midterms legit. That's a pretty big admission. It comes on the heels of Democrats chiding Republicans, rightfully so in some circumstances, for doubting the integrity of elections. And it sort of blew me back on my heels to hear that the President himself was doubting an election that hadn't even happened yet.
Well, and doesn't it set up for there to be screams and cries of an impure election before that could even happen? I mean, he's talking about perhaps cheating of an election before the election can even happen.
Mm-hmm. And the conversation is not necessarily on the merits. We've seen the president misinterpret the Georgia voting law, which in some cases actually expands opportunities to vote. And that's not my opinion. That's analysis from the Washington Post fact checker.
Correct.
He's exaggerated on several occasions. But he wasn't talking about the merits here of any of these individual bills in the state houses. Instead, he was willing to say that the entire thing might be illegitimate. And look, we all know that in elections everywhere, occasionally, there is unfairness, there are problems, there's a system that's set up to deal with that, and both Republicans and Democrats have armies of lawyers to make certain that the rules are enforced fairly. But it was remarkable that the president said about elections that he's likely to lose. He's likely to lose his House majority, and his Senate majority is also at risk, that he would just simply say right out of the gate, well, I'm not ready to say that that's legitimate.
Yeah, and to me, that was almost, in my view, and this isn't my take on you. I've read some of your articles after the press conference. But to me, when I heard him say that and I looked at him, to me, it was kind of like, you guys do whatever you want. This election's going to be screwed, but don't worry. We're going to step in and we'll fix it. I mean, that's what I took away from that.
It was interesting because the White House, they cleaned up another gaffe that the president had, where he said that, the United States and our NATO allies might not counter a minor incursion of the Russians.
Yeah. Define a minor incursion for me on an international scale of going into somebody else's country. Does minor mean, yeah, we did it, but we did it with fewer than 1,000 tanks, or we killed fewer than 500 people? Which is what makes it a minor incursion?
Well, the president was forced to try and clarify. And the White House, they were on top of that very quickly. They noted that the president's red line is if the Russian military starts killing Ukrainian soldiers. But they said that there are a number of other things that could happen, for instance, like cyber attacks or, gray zone events where you have Russian soldiers, disguised in different uniforms. They basically said that the United States and NATO reserve the right to respond with economic sanctions and other measures, as they see fit. But when the president said minor incursion, Kiev was terrified. Had Ukrainian officials telling CNN he just gave the green light for Russia to invade. Now, the White House, they moved on that very quickly, and they sort of set the record straight. They did not move on the legitimacy question until Vice President Harris had done two interviews, one with CBS and the other with NBC, where she was asked this question about will these elections be legitimate? And she did not give a straight answer. The White House also didn't put out a statement clarifying Biden's remarks, or at least walking them back, until after the House Majority Whip, Jim Clyburn, probably one of the most influential Democrats in all of D.C. and the country, the guy who rescued Biden in South Carolina during the primary and helped get him elected, was asked point blank on CNN, are you worried about the legitimacy of the 2022 elections? And he said yes. And then that's when Jen Psaki, in tweets, TV interviews, and in the briefing room, said that the president did not mean what he had said, and that he was not, in fact, questioning the legitimacy of these elections that have not yet happened.
Okay, forget which side. Forget for a minute the topic, and forget which side he was stating or arguing for or against. If you go as long without an official, full-fledged, here I am in front of everybody for 2 hours press conference, wouldn't you imagine that you wouldn't say something like that? That it hadn't been vetted, that you didn't have it through your own head. because you know how these things are. They had hours of conversation. Say this, don't ever say that, and don't ever, ever, ever say this, because if you do that, we can't pull you back in. I mean, all that stuff gets talked about well ahead of time, and I imagine people were in the back room listening to that live event, yanking their hair out.
They were right behind us. There were, I think, 32 reporters in the room, and Psaki, Kate Bedingfield, and the rest of the White House communications team, as well as...
Did you hear sighs and gasps behind your head, or...?
not that I heard. But, you know, you raise a good point, which is that the point of this press conference, it was just his second solo press conference at the White House, was for him to talk about the successes that he had in his first year, and also to change the tone. He wanted to say, you know, this is not the new normal with COVID. Instead, this is an opportunity for us to do more. We still have more work to do. And he wanted to go after Republicans and argue, what are they for? But those were not the headlines in CNN, Fox, Washington Post, Politico, and just about every news organization. Instead, the question was, you know, did the president really just say that these elections were going to be illegitimate?
Yeah.
And what does he mean about a minor incursion into Ukraine? And while Psaki, his spokeswoman, has come out and walked back his comments about the legitimacy of the election, we haven't heard that from the president's own mouth yet.
No, you're exactly correct. That has not come out. And that has become troubling for some people. Don't have a whole lot of time left, Philip, but let me just ask you this. I believe, because I've seen a lot of man on the street conversations that people have had with people inside Ukraine, what do they think? Because you've got to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. When the President of the United States speaks, it is enormous. I mean, it is huge. And you've got to wonder what the message was, the way they got it. And I will tell you this, Philip, those people do not feel any more secure, in fact, feel far less secure than they did before that press conference. And if you go over to a place like, oh, I don't know, Taiwan, that China would just like to go ahead and do this takeover and get it over with, if you're looking at the Uyghurs in West China, you pick a place that's under duress from a possible overtaking by another larger government, none of those people were encouraged by what the President of the United States said.
Immediately after the press conference wrapped, there was a senior administration official who got on the phone with a select number of reporters. I didn't make that cut. I think it might have been because of the back and forth that I had with the president over his Georgia speech. But that senior administration official tried to very quickly clean up some of the president's remarks about a minor incursion into Ukraine. Regardless, though, if Russia does intend to invade, I can almost guarantee you that on the front page of every paper in this country, they're going to make note of his comments.
Every paper in the world, let alone this country. Mm-hmm. I mean, they will. I don't know how they can avoid it, and I don't know how they can get around it. I'm going to be honest with you. I know she's a party player. I know she's a puppet. I know that she is just toying the party line. But Jen Psaki's got to be going out of her mind sometimes.
Yeah, I have a lot of admiration for Jen Psaki, to be honest. I think that she walks to that podium well-prepared. She is the spokesperson, though, so it's her job to defend and explain what the administration is doing. Certainly, I think every press secretary, both Republican or Democrat, they are angsty when their boss decides to hold forth in front of the press for not just an hour, but almost two. It ended up being the longest presidential press conference in modern history.
Yeah, and we don't want another one. Real quick before I let you go, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, whatever you need, Philip. What was your largest takeaway from the whole press conference? I mean, if it was your question, fine. If it was something else, what is the biggest thing that you came away with?
The president needed a reset. It was clear that that's what his team wanted to achieve in this press conference in terms of COVID, in terms of his legislative agenda. Instead, the White House had to deal with some serious cleanup on both the Ukraine answers he gave and also on the legitimacy questions. His ratings, his poll numbers are plummeting right now. And frankly, after sitting through, you know, about 2 hours, as well as his explosion, you know, one of the questions which we didn't cover, though, I would say that in a way, it was a little bit Trump-like, from, you know, his talking about the polls, cable news ratings, chiding reporters, going off script.
Yep.
It was a return to what we saw in the last 4 years to an extent.
Well, and you know, it will play out over the next 2 weeks, but of all the things that he suffers from and in what it is that he needed to repair in his image and his policies, I don't think he achieved any of that in 2 hours. Your thought?
He already has incredibly low poll numbers. Certainly, it's because he became president during a crisis. But if the Biden administration thought that they had it bad when they controlled both chambers of Congress, it is about to get exponentially worse for them and more difficult if Republicans get control. At some point, both sides are going to have to compromise.
Yeah, I think you're right. So are you getting any calls from other news sources? Because I know that probably your stock went up. So, I mean, when that happened, okay, and because I was doing the show, I couldn't watch it in real time when it happened. I knew something had happened, and I knew you were part of it because my text line blew up, absolutely blew up. And I'm even talking about my personal one on my phone. It just absolutely went insane. And the first thought in my mind was, Philip, what have you done now? And then could you not wait until I was off the air? But listen, from me to you, quite honestly, thanks for hanging in there, because I know that when you've got did it ever cross your mind, okay, I've got the leader of the free world majorly honked off right now, and he's looking at nobody but me. Does that make your blood run cold for a minute, or were you pretty secure in your question and in your approach?
Yeah, my question was, given that the president had compared Republicans and opponents to his voting rights legislation, to Bull Connor, George Wallace, and Jefferson Davis, how did he expect moving forward to work with Republicans, something that he had broached the topic of? Now, I noted that he rejected the accusation that he was calling them.
I never said that.
And he sort of he blew up, demanded that I go back and read his speech, which every political reporter in D.C. has been doing for weeks now. Questioned if I could read and write, and and sort of got pretty upset. But, you know, the question I ended up asking was, did you think that would work on Manchin and Sinema, that comparison? And we found our answer when that legislation failed, because Manchin and Sinema joined Republicans to defeat it in the Senate that night.
Well, and as my great-grandfather used to always say, Great-Grandpa Williams, who came to this country from England, as he used to always say, throw a rock into a pen of pigs. The one that squeals the loudest is the one you hit. And so I think that's what happened when you were zinging your questions in there. Philip, thanks so much. I don't know what we'll talk about next Tuesday, because nothing will happen between now and then. But I appreciate it very much. Thanks for hanging in there, my good friend.
Hey, thank you, Pat. Talk
Podcasts by Federated Media.